I want to continue the theme of forgiveness. Continue talking about that, highlighting that from the gospel reading we had. I want to tie it in as well to the reading from Galatians, and also with some reference to what David experienced. Let's begin with the word prayer. Lord God, open our hearts and minds to walk in, to receive the forgiveness that you bring. May you develop in us a simple faith based on the love and the forgiveness and the beauty of Jesus Christ. Bless us in that, Lord. May the thoughts of our hearts, the words of my mouth, be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. Please follow along with me, the outline that you have in your bulletins. You also want to look at the text that we have on the back of your bulletin. What we had before us this morning is a record of worship. This woman falls at Jesus' feet. We're never told what her name is. She doesn't say a word. We just have this example of her amazing worship. She's just so touched by the forgiveness that she has received through Christ. And one of these Pharisees that were the religious leaders of the day, they invited Jesus in. And his name is Simon. You know, in this text, it's interesting that Pharisee is mentioned three times right at the beginning. Luke's trying to really get the point across. This was a Pharisee. And Pharisees are important people. We'll see that. That's a key thing. See, God had really worked this encounter. He had a purpose here. And he's going to offer forgiveness to the Pharisee, Simon, and the people that are there. And Simon, at this point, it doesn't seem like he really is a friend of Jesus. He doesn't really offer him a lot of the common courtesies that you would expect, the normal hospitality of their day. Common courtesy would have been for him to kiss Jesus as he enters the house. Now, we don't do that in our culture. I don't know, have you been in any cultures, Jan, have you been in any cultures where, you know, some of the travels that you've had, or some of us who have traveled a bit, you know, I know I've been in some situations where it's very normal. You embrace and you hug and you kiss. So that's our Western culture by and large. We don't, you know, we're kind of like that with the shaking of the hands. So it's normal for them to do that and to welcome him. It would have been absolutely normal and customary for him to give him water to wash his feet. But he didn't do that. He would have given him oil to anoint his head. You see, one thing we might not know, but the Pharisee is a very important leading member of the community. He's important. He's like a regent at the university. He's a head surgeon. I mean, this is somebody that's the pinnacle of religious integrity, of social goodness and grace. You know, this guy is an example of everything that you want to be if you want to be a servant of God. And, you know, people respected these guys. But Simon seems to omit many of these and kind of practices rather a cool contempt towards Jesus. Now, in sharp contrast, what you have, the text brings it out, but you might not see it readily. Is it just says on the back of your bulletins, and it wasn't like this in the reading that we had, but this is a different translation. It says in verse 37, and behold, a woman. Actually, like the Greek text is, whoa, a woman! I was like, what? Because, you know, the woman, they just didn't go in there. They're separate, you know. This is a meal. This is a very important person having a very important meal. And this is not a place for especially a sinner to be. And so she shows up and just turns the whole thing upside down. I mean, how can you plan for this? There's no way. You see, she has known, and you wouldn't know that from the context, but when you read the bigger context, they have just been discussing the baptism of John. And the baptism of John was for the forgiveness of sins. Pharisees wanted nothing to do with that. But all the prostitutes, which was probably her lot, and the tax collectors and others, they flocked to John. And they received that forgiveness of sins. And she is coming to Jesus with this ointment, this expensive perfume, and, you know, sees the Lord. And you have to understand how the meal was. They're reclining and his feet are to the back, because Luke actually presents it more like a symposium sort of thing, where they're all going to get together and, you know, they're going to have this discussion of some ethical debate or something like that. And that's how he casts the thing. So his feet are off to the back and they're discussing things or getting ready to as they have their meal. And this lady just gets so overwhelmed with Jesus that she just starts crying. And, you know, have you ever had a good cry? You know, your nose starts running, and you just become so emotional, just can't contain it. And so she just becomes so full of emotion and so overwhelmed with the forgiveness in Christ, with the presence of Jesus Christ. She doesn't care what these guys think. She knows what they think, and they don't think much of her. And she's just so happy to be there. And, you know, his feet haven't been washed, so his feet are a mess, and now they're getting muddy, and now they're getting dirty, so she undoes her hair, which is an absolute no-no in that culture. That was very, very rude. And she undoes her hair, and she starts wiping his feet with her hair, wiping off the tears and the mud. You know, Simon's reaction to this, he looks and he says, you know, if this man was a prophet, he'd know what sort of woman this was. He would have some sort of understanding. But you know, that's his logic. And the problem with logic, as with the problem of computers, is really you can have faulty logic if you start with faulty premises. You know, and his faulty premise was not based on the grace and love of Jesus Christ or of God. It was based on, you know, the Pharisees were really good at religion and they liked to keep a short account with God. And so they were rather diligent of doing everything that they needed to do so their sins could be paid for and taken care of so they could have a clean relationship with God. Now this lady knows her life's a wreck. She already understands that. And it's interesting with this lady, you know, there weren't a whole lot of jobs for women in that day. And it's totally possible that she was destitute. Maybe she was a slave that didn't have a master anymore, and she has no way to make a living, and she's actually doing the only thing she can do to survive. But Simon doesn't care about that. So Jesus tells this story, and the point of the story really is, like the first point there in your outline, he's getting to this idea of spiritual debt. We all have a debt to pay. Now, as I said, the woman really knows that she's with this huge debt. Now, actually, Simon has a debt. I mentioned he was a Pharisee. Now, the Pharisees, when they would go out to the marketplace, and let's say they touch against something that is unclean, heaven forbid a Gentile, or maybe something that was just not according to the law. Well, when he has to wash himself off now because he's unclean. He has to keep the account short with God. And so he has to make sure everything's clean. And you know, they've actually found, archaeologists have found, that there are baptismal fonts of this Jesus' day. They have found fonts that are big enough to baptize couches. Because if one of his Pharisee friends came over, and as they're eating, they find out, oh, you're unclean. He touched my couch. Now I have to clean my couch. So he has to clean the whole house because he has to get rid of the uncleanness lest he will offend God. Can you imagine the cleaning job he's going to have to do in his house? He's got a mess. This lady's been touching everything. He has made the whole place unclean. And so Jesus is looking to him and he's saying, yeah, this lady's got 500 denarii debt. You got 50. You got a problem too. We're all sinners. You see, there's a debt that all of us have to pay. Simon, how are you going to pay it? This woman knows. This woman knows the debt's been paid. That's why she's doing this. How do you pay the debt? You know, we can't do it ourselves. And he comes to Simon and he talks to him and he puts this proposition out there. And, you know, it's been the exact way that human beings have been. They tend to, you know, even from the Garden of Eden at the first sin, ran away from God. But what Jesus is doing is what the Holy Spirit will do is tap on your shoulder and say, I need to talk. We need to talk about your sin. We need to talk about your guilt. You try to hide it, and you try to pretend it's not a problem. That's not working for you. It causes fear. It causes anxiety. It causes stress. Talk to God. Jesus is saying, we can talk. And that's the real key. That's a real important part of this story, is that he's even proposing it to Simon. He's saying, you can talk. This woman already did. Look at her. She's an example of what it's like to talk to God about your sin. It's freeing. It's forgiving. People don't see it like that. They don't understand that. And so first and foremost, in this story, it's to see that Jesus is presenting forgiveness. Forgiveness, God's grace. He's saying, look, we all have a debt that we can never repay. But Jesus Christ is never, ever going to turn anyone away. He just won't. And that's, this woman is an example of it. You know, he turns to the woman and he's speaking to Simon. So he turns to the woman, he's yet speaking to Simon, and he's ignored the woman for all intents and purposes at this point. She's just worshiping and praising. And he tells Simon, he says, you know, look at this woman. Look at her loving devotion. There is a simplicity in her faith. There is a simplicity in her relationship with Jesus Christ that is so freeing and so forgiving. Simon had all the religion, he had all the rules, he had all the right way to do it. He didn't have the peace of God and he missed the forgiveness of God. This lady found it. It's that simple, beautiful faith in Jesus Christ that we need to get back to, that we need to cultivate, that we need to work on in our lives. That is what frees us. That is what makes us. It just causes us to rejoice in who Jesus is. You know, there's a book that I read, and it's called Jesus Pure and Simple. It's by Pastor Wayne Cordiero. And in this book, Wayne said, whenever you spiritualize jealousy, pride, or hate, you become a dangerous person, especially when you are a leader of influence. Simon is a dangerous person. He doesn't understand the grace of God. Jesus did not compromise when it came to sin. He told this lady, he said publicly, he said, her sins are many. She's a sinner. She knows that. But Jesus is patient, and he's compassionate. And he gives that compassion to people. He gives them time to come to him with praise and thanksgiving for the forgiveness of sins that he offers. We are oft tempted to believe that God dislikes the people that we dislike for the reasons that we do. But that is a very dangerous path to walk on. Have you ever met a person that is so right that anger can be justified? Disrespect can teach a lesson. Slander or accusing is truthful proclamation. Reacting to something that is wrong gives one the right to be rude. You see, Jesus is just, there is a pure and a simple faith that freed this woman, and Jesus longs for it to free Simon. The forgiveness is real. Jesus' forgiveness, we see that in verses 47 to 50. There's something our text, the NIV brings it out, but the ESV didn't bring it. But in the Greek text, it's important to note that Jesus, it's not present tense. When Jesus speaks, he doesn't say, your sins are forgiven. It's perfect tense in Greek, have been forgiven. She knows. She understands. She gave a sacrificial offering of the forgiveness that she has come to receive and understand and see in Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, they have been forgiven. That's why she's doing this. She knows her sinful past. She knows how bad life is, how much she needs God. And it's in that simplicity that she receives the forgiveness and the joyous celebration. You know, that simplicity is what I long for. And in your outlines, I put something that has helped me live in that simplicity. And I would encourage you to grow in this. It's faith's response to the grace of Jesus Christ that we know. I put it in the form of an acrostic to be real, because this lady was real. And she just realized, you know, that nobody's perfect. It's what we have to do. It's what I have to do. I just got to chill. You just got to realize that nobody's perfect. You can't be perfect. You're trying to be perfect. We have all these standards that we need to live up to. You can't be that. Just relax. Realize that nobody's perfect. A great verse from Solomon, the smartest person that ever lived apart from Jesus Christ. Not a single person on earth is always good and never sins. Just enjoy God's forgiveness in Christ. You say, well, you know, but I did wrong. I didn't do what was right. God says, so? I've forgiven it. Do you believe that? Can you walk in that freedom? Can you walk in the fact that God has really forgiven you and you are genuinely free? That Christ was beat up instead of you. And that you actually, you say, well, I don't deserve it. I did that. He says, well, Christ paid for that. You are free. You are really a free child of God. That is so important that we see that we understand that. Because that frees us really as this lady to just follow Christ. To really just accept God's guidance. You say, yeah, I was wrong. And Lord, I want to follow you. And when Jesus was ministering to a lady that they wanted to stone in John, he didn't throw any stones. He said, well, there's forgiveness there for you. And he told her, he said, go and sin no more. He said, it's not good to go back to that old life. That's not going to prosper you or bless you. But live in the forgiveness that God has given you. And you know, we just have to let go. We just have to let go. God takes care of things. Because you're going to fail, I'm going to fail. And we're not going to be perfect. But it's by being real and by sharing that realness and expressing that forgiveness one to another and just letting the mask drop down and letting the facades that we put up just kind of melt away that realness that we have through Jesus Christ really speaks. And that's where I want to live. That's where I want to live. I see that you have two faces in this story. You have a path that Simon would take us on, and we have a path that this forgiven woman wants to take us on. I want to live in that real grace of God. You know, may God bless us and strengthen us and keep us in that grace through our wonderful and gracious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.